It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A National Trails Conservancy group says closing gaps in a 150-mile section of rail trail in West Virginia can be done in 10 years.
So it's sort of serving in many places where those trails are close to their downtowns as the new Main Street, because Main Street just doesn't have any traffic in the evenings anymore.
We'll hear more about completing a rail trail that would connect Parkersburg to Pittsburgh on this West Virginia morning. Not long after Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky squared off with President Trump over funding for the Appalachian Regional Commission, the ARC has a new federal co-chair. As Becca Schimmel reports, the commission's newest member has close ties to Senator McConnell.
Longtime McConnell aide Tim Thomas says he can see a day when the Appalachian Regional Commission is no longer needed.
My vision for ARC is to see the day that this agency can shutter its doors because its goals and objectives have been reached in large measure. It will not happen on my watch. It will probably not happen on the watch of my successor, but I can see that day on the horizon.
President Trump had wanted the ARC's end to come much sooner than that. The president's first budget proposed eliminating ARC funding, but Thomas's boss, Senator McConnell, restored that funding. Thomas worked for McConnell for almost 10 years as both a field representative and a field office director. He says that helped him become familiar with ARC and the work that it does.
Coming from Kentucky, obviously I know how important ARC is to Eastern Kentucky. Familiarity with those communities and their needs, and I think all of that just prepares me for my role here.
Thomas wants to focus on diversifying the economy by helping small business and entrepreneurs in the region. Those familiar with the ARC say Thomas will need political savvy to make that happen.
So one of the advantages I think that Tim Thomas has is his connection with McConnell and that leadership and his ability to go to these other federal agencies and get their attention.
That's Ron Eller, Appalachian author and distinguished professor of history emeritus at the University of Kentucky. He says most Republican presidents have sought to zero out the ARC budget, but powerful members of Congress whose districts benefit usually push back. Eller says the majority of the power of the ARC is in the hands of the governors of the Appalachian region states.
The governors, since the late 1960s, have really lost interest to a great degree in the economic problems of the Appalachian portions of their states.
Eller says there has been tension in Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia over what economic development means for the region. He says the dominance of the coal industry has prevented alternative uses for federal funds to promote economic development. Eller says now that coal is playing a smaller role in the economy, central Appalachia states are looking at alternatives for economic development. Thomas has said small business development is one of his top priorities.
Let me tell you, I am bullish on Appalachia. If it were a stock, I would be buying because I believe it to be an undervalued asset.
Thomas says most new jobs are created by small businesses, and there's no reason to think the next great entrepreneur can't come from Appalachia. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
And I'm Larry Gross here along with Jessica Lilly, asking you to make a call with a pledge of support right now. The number is 1-800-RADIO-87 or go online to wvpublic.org.
You know, there's no shortage of news programming in today's 24/7 media environment, but none offer the depth and context and the range of expertise that you can find on West Virginia Public Broadcasting that we work hard in the newsroom to bring to you every single day. And we're asking that you'll pledge your support and show your support for those efforts by calling 1-800-RADIO-87 or going online to wvpublic.org and pledge your support. From insightful coverage of local politics to intelligent reporting on international events, West Virginia Public Broadcasting brings you news and analysis from NPR, the BBC, and, you know, sometimes it can get overwhelming with all of these news outlets. And so whenever I get overwhelmed, I just say, you know, I'm going to go back to West Virginia Public Broadcasting and breathe easy and know that I'm getting the quality programming that I'm looking for.
And if you would be able to give a $7 a month sustaining gift, we'd love to give you a WVPB baseball cap. These are very cool things to wear. And when you wear it, not only they look good, but you're telling everybody you support West Virginia Public Broadcasting and that it is important to you, and that's a great way to actually be an advertisement for us and also identify other folks who would obviously say, well, you listen to West Virginia Public Broadcasting, that we have a community here all across this state and other states. This morning we've heard from a couple of folks from Virginia and some folks from West Virginia. We usually hear from people from Maryland, from Ohio, from Kentucky, and we love it, the fact you've chosen West Virginia Public Broadcasting. How about it? Can you make a call this morning with a pledge of support or go online to wvpublic.org?
We're so glad that you can join us this morning on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And this is a part of your day every day. And this morning we have the Finn Challenge, where your sustaining members making a monthly gift of $5 or more right now with your first year's contribution matched dollar for dollar. So, and you can do that with the Scott Finn Challenge as he goes out and starts on his new adventure. We hope you'll call 1-800-RADIO-87 and take advantage of this opportunity to have those dollars matched, or go online at wvpublic.org. And thanks.
Areas of fog this morning, becoming partly sunny today. Highs in the 50s and 60s. Mostly cloudy skies overnight with a chance of rain. Lows in the 40s. Partly cloudy on Friday. A chance of rain with highs in the 60s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. By WVU Medicine Children's Pediatric Care for West Virginia's children. And by the First State Capitol, working with the Walls Foundation in Wheeling to present a labor history symposium this September. More information at walswheeling.com. A group facilitating the completion of a rail trail connecting Pittsburgh to Parkersburg says the project has the potential to boost tourism. Washington, D.C.-based Rails to Trails Conservancy released a feasibility study this week. It shows filling gaps in Harrison, Marion, and Wood counties in West Virginia would complete the 238-mile trail referred by proponents as P2P. Jesse Wright spoke with two people from the Conservancy about the study and what's next for the project.
I'm Kelly Pack. I'm the Director of Trail Development at Rails to Trails Conservancy. We're a national organization based in Washington, D.C., and we serve trails across the country, more than 22,000 miles of them now, and more than 100,000 members.
I'm Kent Spellman. I'm a consultant with the Rails to Trails Conservancy, working mostly in northern West Virginia, a little bit in southwestern Pennsylvania, and a little bit in the southern part of the state as we see rail corridors possibly beginning to become available down there.
So you had an event in Bridgeport where you laid out a new study. Kelly, can you tell me a little bit about that study and what it means to the folks here in West Virginia?
Sure. So we developed a feasibility study for the full corridor within West Virginia to capture what it would take to close the gaps and create a 150-mile linear trail in the state. And part of the goal of a feasibility study, which is kind of the first step in planning, is to determine if the project is in fact feasible. And we determined that yes, it is, and it's well within reach. So what the study does is it gives a detailed look at every gap segment and some options for what it would take to acquire those segments, to build them, to put amenities in that will make it more attractive for people to kind of connect into the trail from the neighborhoods and the communities, and then what it will be once it becomes a tourist destination too. So it provides a plan for how to take the communities through each step of that process, and then also attaches a cost to each, because we have to know what we're dealing with and what it's going to take to get us there. So it's a planning tool, and it's going to be used by those municipalities and local trail groups to do things like create more competitive grant applications when they're trying to secure a piece of the corridor for trail use, or when they're trying to submit for funding to go ahead and build the trail or to program it. They need to have that detailed information to know what it is they're getting into and what they need to accomplish.
Ken, can you give me an idea of the parts of that trail that are built out, and then a little bit of an idea of what the sections look like right now that still have yet to be built out?
Sure. There's a the major part of the trail right now that's completely built out is the North Bend Rail Trail, which starts about a mile and a half outside of Parkersburg, and then runs all the way to about 4.5 miles from Clarksburg, total of 72 miles. That trail has been in existence since the early 90s. Work on that began in the late 80s. When a group of citizens came together to try to take advantage of an opportunity when CSX abandoned part of that corridor and to turn that liability into a huge asset. So that trail has been in existence for some time. And another good section is the West Fork River Trail that runs in Marion County from Shinston to Fairmont. It's a beautiful, beautiful section of trail. Built out also is most of Mon County's trail section, with the Mon River Trail South, Mon River Trail North, and the Caperton Trail. Those are all great sections of trail that are in pretty good shape. We have some gaps in the center of Fairmont, downtown Fairmont. We have some significant gaps in Clarksburg that are challenged because we have a need for some bridges to be built there in order to close those gaps. Parkersburg is closing in fast. We've negotiated with CSX to acquire about a mile and a half. That'll take us within about a half a mile of downtown Parkersburg. So we're closing. We still got some challenges there. What we're facing now is some of the more difficult negotiations, because they're going to involve workarounds or negotiations with private property owners. So we're getting into some difficult negotiations, I think, but I think we're showing so much progress and there is so much momentum behind the work being done that I think it's going to be easier to convince people that this is a good thing for them, for their community, for our state.
So I know you've been working on this project for a long time, Kent. Can you describe a little bit what it's like to see that much trail be completed while you've been working on it and be this close to getting 150 miles done?
Yeah, it's pretty satisfying. Mm-hmm. I got to say that, you know, I started working on this back in the late 80s as a volunteer, and I was recruited to help with it. And it was described to me as a fellow needed some help with a little project. And for the next 12 years, I was deeply involved in that little project. I backed away for a variety of reasons for a while. And when I retired, working with the Rails to Trails Conservancy put me back into the rail trail work. And it's been extremely satisfying. I got to say, there's nothing that feels better than knowing you had a hand in creating a trail, going out on that trail, and seeing people on bikes, on foot, on horseback, using that trail. It's a really satisfying feeling.
Trails, we think of them as a place to bike, as maybe a place to walk the dog. But can you describe a little bit more about what a trail does for the communities in which they go through?
Mm-hmm. So we really think that trails have a transformative effect on a community. And we've seen that happen throughout the movement from the beginning of the rail trail movement in the 60s and 70s, when people were recapturing these old corridors for community use. And now our work has shifted a bit to look at how we can connect entire systems and regions. So it's really amazing to see that a single trail can have such an impact on a community. And you see that here in Morgantown. I went to school here and started using the trail in the late 90s when it first opened. And to see what change has become, you know, along the riverfront, and to see the activity and how many people use it for walking, for biking, running, and, you know, on the North Bend Trail, you have horseback use too. But I think that we're starting to see, with Morgantown as an example, and then with some of the smaller communities along the way, that we can get people to use the trail, to think of it as a place for linear recreation, transportation, but also just a place that is integral to community life, you know, and a place for people to be with each other, and a true community space. But I think, you know, Kent's done a lot of work here in the state and to do that community development piece and to really capture the true benefits of trails that they bring to communities and local economies.
You know, our downtowns often are not what they used to be, and they're often sort of hollowed out. And in some of these communities where a trail goes through town, we're seeing that the trail actually becomes the new main street. It's where people go in the evening to walk with their family, to walk their dogs, to take a bike ride. They see each other, they say hello, they stop and talk. So it's sort of serving in many places where those trails are close to their downtowns as the new main street, because Main Street just doesn't have any traffic in the evenings anymore.
Well, Kent, Kelly, thanks so much for stopping by and letting us know about this very interesting project.
Thank you, Jesse. Thanks.
That was News Director Jesse Wright talking with Kent Spellman and Kelly Pack with the Rails to Trails Conservancy. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Cafe Cimino Country Inn, B&B Lodging, Massage Services, and Gourmet Cuisine at lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. CafeCiminoCountryInn.com. And by the Charleston Gazette-Mail, using its CGM app to deliver the latest news, traffic, and weather alerts, keeping you in the know while you're on the go.